anything, what we need to know and must know about the rapture. Enlighten us. Give us the enthusiasm that is needed to get excited about an awesome transition that is going to take place, Jesus said. That we may share it with others. The urgent need of salvation in Christ Jesus. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, all to His glory and praise and adoration. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have something to write with, and I hope you have a printout also to write on. The first word we're going to look at is rapture. Rapture. Now, there's three words that I want you to connect to the word rapture. When you think of the rapture, think of the word unexpected. Unexpected. The second word I want you to think about when you think about the word rapture is awesome. It's going to be an awesome transition. The third word I want you to think about in connection to rapture is the word sudden. How quick will the rapture take place? Just blink your eyes and it has taken place. It is over and it is done. Well, let's begin reading the opening paragraph. Many may hear the sound of the midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. But thinking it only thunder, will turn over for another nap. But in the morning they will find the bedroom door locked, with the key on the inside, just as they locked it before retiring, and the clothes of the loved one who occupied the room with them lying where they were placed when taken off the night before. But that loved one who was a Christian, missing. Husbands will wake up to find that Christian wives are gone, and wives will wake up to find Christian husbands gone. Brothers and sisters will be missed, and dear children absent. Not an infant will be left behind. Many faithful servants and employees will not report for duty, and the world will awake to the fact that the Bible is true. And the much despised doctrine of the premillennial coming of the Lord to gather out His saints is no fanciful interpretation of Scripture. If it be day with us when the rapture occurs, the event will be startling, as it was in the days of Noah. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. But of that exact day and hour, underline the word hour. The word hour means a divine preset time. When you say the word divine, we're talking about the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A divine preset time. When was this preset? Well, if you read your Bible, it was set in eternity past. Since it is divine, it is a divine decree, it is going to be non-negotiable, non-negotiable. A divine preset time, set in eternity past, period, to accomplish the Lord's specific purpose. A divine preset time, period, to accomplish the Lord's specific purpose. But of that day, the exact day and hour, no one knows. Underline the word knows. No one knows the realities and the details of the rapture. No one knows the realities and the details of the rapture. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son in His humanity. But the Father, underline the word Father. The word Father means the one who imparts life and is committed to it. The one who imparts life and is committed to it. For the coming, underline the word coming. The word coming means the arrival by the owner. Arrival by the owner. Now we're fixing to tie this together. But of that exact day and hour,
No one knows the realities and the details of the rapture, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son in His humanity. But the Father, the one who imparts life and is committed to it, for the coming means arrival by the owner of the Son of Man. Now write this down. Jesus Christ, we are told here, owns the resurrection. Jesus Christ owns the resurrection. And Jesus Christ owns the rapture. Now, when you think about the rapture, you have to think of the rapture in two phases. Number one, there's going to be a resurrection. What does the scripture say? It says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be raptured. What does that word rapture mean? It means snatched up and snatched away to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. So when you think about the rapture, you think about two phases. You think about the resurrection, and then you think about those that are living that are going to be snatched up and snatched away with Jesus Christ. All right? But of that exact day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son in His humanity, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, will be just, underline the word just, and it means just exactly like, the days of Noah. Underline the phrase, the days of Noah. You're talking about words that were what? It was a time that things were sudden and unexpected. Sudden and unexpected. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day when Noah entered the ark. And they did not know or understand. They were very much unconcerned, like so many are today, until the flood came and swept them all away. Who is going to be swept all away here? It is what? Unbelievers in Jesus Christ. Now, when you have the rapture of the church, who's going to be caught up in the air to meet Jesus? It is going to be believers. It is going to be the church. And who's going to be left behind? All right? All unbelievers, all Christ rejectors that did not think it was important to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, they are going to be left behind. And then the next step is they will step into the 7-year tribulation period. Once again, I will say to you, it is a 7 years that you do not want to enter. It will be a living hell here on earth. Nor did they know or understand, they were unconcerned, until the flood came. What is the flood? It is judgment. Came and swept them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be, that is unexpected judgment. Now let's look at the paragraph that follows. The people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling, planting and building. If it be at a pleasant time of the year, the boats and cars and parks will be filled with pleasure seekers. If it be in the midst of the week and during the business hours of the day, the shops and stores will be filled with shoppers and the mills with toilers, and the streets of the cities lined with men and women and children on pleasure and business bent. What a great day it will be, supposedly, for them, for they are not concerned about the rapture of the church. Suddenly a noise from heaven will be heard like a great peal of thunder. The people will rush to doors and windows and those on the streets and in the fields will look up to see what has happened. To the vast majority, it will be but a startling and alarming sound, but to many it will be the voice of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ calling His church home. Now here's the question. What will be one of the surprises of that day? Top of page 2. Well, many professing Christians and many ministers and Christian workers will be left behind. while some who were not known to be Christians will be missing. The next day's papers will be full of what happened the day before, and many of them swell to twice their ordinary size, you can just imagine, by the pressure on their advertising columns for information as to missing ones and for help to fill important vacancies and positions of trust. For a few days, the excitement will be intense. Then people will settle down to the inevitable. With the exception of a few who will repent. Underline that word, repent. The word repent does not mean confession of sin. The word repent is metanoeo. It refers to a change of mind, a change of thinking that leads to a change of direction. And that's what the word repent there means. And turn to God, the mass of the people will become more hardened and wicked than before, and some who lost loved ones will be embittered. Sin and iniquity and all manner of crime and worldliness will increase and pave the way for the manifestation of the Antichrist, under whose administration the world will rapidly ripen for judgment. Judgment that is going to come from the living God. Judgment that has been talked about and explained in the Word of the living God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts, underline the word acts, please. The word acts means Christianity involves knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of the living God. It involves personal response. And lastly, a lifestyle of service unto Christ Himself. So everyone who hears these words of mine, that is the words of Jesus Christ, we call it the Bible, and acts on them, will be like a wise man, a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods and the torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Underline the word rock and write this, please. In reference to the word rock, write, he built on an interest in God. He built on an interest in God. So you have to answer the question, how interested am I in the living God? Secondly, the rock means reliance on Christ's promises. Reliance on Christ's promises. He believed what he read in the Word of God pertaining to the promises of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And he built on the rock. He had confidence in his protecting plan. He had confidence in the protecting plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he built on the rock means the last thing. He built on the rock because he had assurance of heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish, stupid man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and floods and torrents came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great and complete was its fall. Now, listen to the question, number one. Have you ever had a wall with a crack on it? And how many times did you try to fix it? Did the crack keep coming back no matter how many times you had it fixed? What did you learn? The problem wasn't the wall. The problem was a sifting foundation. How many of us have cracks in our lives? Emotional, relational, financial. But we address the symptoms and not the source of the problem. Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount with a story about two men who had three things in common. Number one, each man built a house. Number two, both heard the words of Jesus. Number three, both encountered a violent storm. Now, one of these men was wise and the other foolish. Look at the word wisdom. Wisdom is the ability, which is a divine gift that comes from God, and every believer has this gift. So wisdom is the ability, God-given, and willingness coming from divine persuasion in obedience to the word of the living God to apply spiritual truth to life's circumstances. In contrast, foolishness is the inability. Wisdom is a gift from God. Inability and unwillingness is a gift from Satan himself. So foolishness is the inability coming by persuasion from Satan himself, that is evil and full of destruction, and unwillingness to apply spiritual truth to life's realities. Now go to page 3. The wise man heard Jesus' words and he acted on them. He built on a foundation of rock. To do so is harder and more time consuming. The fool built on sand. This is easier. It is cheaper. It is faster to do so. It is costly. And are you ready to pay the cost? To take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? The choice of approaches raises a question. How long do you want your house to stand? You cannot build a skyscraper life on a chicken coop foundation. If you want stability in your personal life, your family, and your community life, you need Jesus Christ as Lord. What does the word Lord mean? It means master. The one who's controlling the shots in your life. The one who you should be listening to. You need the sturdy foundation of God's Word, which includes both knowledge of the Bible and applying it to life. The storm revealed which man was wise and which one was foolish. The trials of life will expose what your foundation is made of. Christ speaks to us. Your call. You call me Master, Jesus says. You call me Lord. You call me someone who wants to direct and empower your life, to give you the divine persuasion that is necessary to live unto the Lord Jesus Christ and bring praise and glory and adoration unto Him. And for you as the individual Christian is to grow in Christ's likeness and mature in Jesus Christ. You call me Master and obey me not, and you wonder why your life is so messed up. Why is it so screwed up? Why doesn't it make sense anymore? Why can't we solve problems anymore? Quit fooling with the crack on the wall. The problem is a shifting foundation. You're going to learn how to be stable and have stability, and it will come by obedience to the Word of God. Listen, salvation / obedience, they are inseparable from one another. If you say you are really saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you say you have been born again. And I have no doubt that I am saved and I'm going to go to heaven at the right moment. I'll be involved in the rapture that is going to take me up into the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You call me Master and obey me not. You do what you dang well please. And I'll say that in East Texas language, that's a soft way to put it, because we've all been there. We've all done that. Again, forget the crack on the wall and go to where it all got started. Go back to the beginning. And ignite your love for one another if that's what it takes. Maybe you're having a problem with finances. What does the Bible say? I'll tell you what. Jesus doesn't need your money. But the giving of your money means you're giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And you're trusting Him
that He's going to give you what's needed. He's going to do what is needed in every circumstance, in every instant of your life. If you call me Master, why don't you start living that way then? Secondly, you call me light and see me not. You say you understand me. You say you've been enlightened by the word of the living God, but you do not see me in every part and situation and circumstance of your life. Can you not see? Or are you just good at saying words and not obeying them and doing again what you want? You call me the way. Underline the word way. The word way is not a denomination. The word way is a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He has no beginning. He has no end. Jesus Christ is always going to be God. Listen to this. You call me the way. You say that I am the right way. You say, as the way, I accept you, the person Jesus Christ, as the God and Lord and Savior of the Bible. You call me the way and walk with me not. Why will you not live with me? You say I'm the way. Come live with me. You say I'm light. Come live with me. You call me life and choose me not. You call me life. Would that be salvation? Life? Would that be eternal life? Would that be physical life? Do you call me the life of everything that exists? Do you believe that I have created all that exists, this whole universe? Do you say, since I have created it, I can sustain it, that I can keep it alive? I know how to handle it. I know its worth. I know its value. Listen to this. You call me life and choose me not. You call me wise and you don't follow me. Is it because you think you are wiser? What is your religion? What is your Christianity? Is it just lip service? You say Jesus is wise. He should be. He's God. Jesus is wise. He should be. He's all-knowing. There's nothing He does not know. Again, if the foundation is shifting, go to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He knew all about your heartaches, your problems in eternity past. Do you not think He has the answer for everything that's going to happen and take place in your life as a human being and as a Christian? It is time to dry up the tears. It is time to smile again. It is time to be happy again. It is time to be excited again. It is time to be filled with joy and thanksgiving again. If you really believe it, you will live it. And brother, that's what's got to happen. If you speak it, then live what you speak from the word of the living God. And you will have things happen in your life that have never, ever happened before. There will be blessings that will come to you that have never come before. Why? Because you not only speak it, you now live it. You call me rich and ask me not. How rich is Jesus Christ? You've got a financial problem. That seems to be, you say, the crack on the wall. No, that's the shifting foundation. We've got a problem here with finances. If you've got a problem with finances, what does God say? He says, trust Him with your giving. Trust Him with your giving. You know what you say? I can't afford to give. You cannot afford to give. You cannot afford to give. Brother, you've got to give. I found out the hard way when I surrendered to preach. Didn't have many groceries at the house. We decided to sit down and start tithing. Wasn't much, but we started. Got a little slim. Next week, here comes a knock on the door. I open the door, and there's a guy standing there, and both arms are full of groceries. Both arms are full of groceries. Why? We started trusting Him. We talked about tithing.
We said, well, let's start doing it. Well, let's cut back $10. Let's not give $20 or $30 or $40. That's a lot to give. Let's just cut back. He'll understand. It'll be all right. We just said, no, we're going to just get out there on the limb and we're going to give what we should be giving out of what we are making. And you know what? We did. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt. Did it stretch the faith? Yes, it stretched the faith. Did God come through? Yes, God came through. He took the fishes, He took the loaves of bread, and He multiplied them. If God can feed 20,000 with five items here, you got me? Five items. What is it? Grace. Grace. If He can feed 20,000, He can feed you. He can supply you. He can give whatever is needed for you. Amen. You call me eternal? Are you telling me that I am God, that I have no beginning and I have no end, I have always existed? When there was nothing out there, there was me, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There wasn't even a star, there wasn't a universe, it was just darkness. There was us three. You call me eternal and seek me not? You call me noble and serve me not? How can you not serve Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, when Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago, He paid your sin debt in full that you could never ever pay. You call me noble? Do you remember when I came to you with saving grace? I came to you with faith. I came to you with divine persuasion. I came to you giving you the ability to accept me as Lord and Savior of your life. You call me noble and serve me not. How can you not serve Jesus Christ when He has laid down all and everything for you? Amen. You call me gracious and trust me not. Is God stingy or am I stingy? Is God gracious? Is He more than gracious? Is it in abundance gracious? Yes. I'm sitting right here listening to the Gideon speaker. I've given a Gideon Bible to one grandson. There's two more to go. And that's what I was thinking right here. I thought, if somebody was over at their house and they came in and say, I've got some really neat toys for you. Go get the boys. I can't wait for them to see what I've brought over for them. And they walk out of there because we've already met and they've already been given two Gideon Bibles and they walk out of their bedrooms and into the den and everybody in there has all of these nice toys. You know how that goes? And they hold up and say, this is what Nanny and Poppy got us. And I don't know of one toy that'll ever exist that can match that.
Amen.
Not. You call me gracious when you're down on your luck, when you're down and out, nothing's going good at all. Is not Jesus there? Good. How much does He love you? And everything that happens in your life, do you ever stop and think, it's the love Christ has for me that is holding me together right now? You want to know what holds you together? It ain't your money. It ain't what you own. It's Christ's love for you that holds you together in everything. You call me mighty? You call me all-powerful? And honor me not?
Tell me what I cannot do, please. I'm open to it. I'm anxious to hear. Well, Jesus, tell me. Am I not the living God? Have you not read of the miracles in the Word of God from Genesis to the book of Revelation? Do you not know what I am capable of, especially when it comes to my children? Do you not know? Read it. Know me. If you don't know Him now, don't wait. Come. It's not going to get any better. I thought this morning, talking about the rapture, what if you were scheduled to have open heart surgery in the morning? And the surgery begins by the surgeon. Your heart is taken out of your body and it's set right over here beside you. And all of a sudden the rapture takes place. And the surgeon happens to be a Christian. And he's operating on a non-believer. And so here God takes the surgeon up in the rapture. He's just snatched away. And this dude is an unbeliever. His heart's over here off to the side. What is he going to do? Tough. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Let me add this. Blame me not. For did you not hear the Gideon speaker this particular day? That you stumbled into church by accident? You think? Blame me not because you turned down the receiving of the Bible. The Gideon had it right there. Blame me not. For I have been all these things unto you. Now what are you going to do with them? Question. Are you sincerely saved? God's way. Number two, build your life on the rock. Jesus is a sure foundation. And He won't let you down. You know what? People will let you down. They say, you know, I got my own problems. You take care of yourself. But isn't it nice that you can go to Jesus and He says, I'm right there. I am right there, buddy. If you're down, I'll get down on the same level with you. But after you get up on your feet, I want you to remember, He might have got down on the same level with you. But when you stood up, so did your majestic, holy God stand up. In His holiness. If I condemn you, it's because you've already condemned yourself. Most gracious Heavenly Father,